This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Woohoo! It's Monday.
Welcome, everybody, to Newsmakers on Monday. This is the place to be to get your local update on all things Marion Polk County related, Salem and Kaiser. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we're going to take some topics of the day, and we're going to start off by saying, hey, way to go Blazers.
Right.
We don't talk a lot of sports. I think we talk no sports here, really, except the Volcanoes.
Yeah, right.
But wow, that is amazing to win game 7 in the second round and go on to face Golden State Warriors. That is amazing. So congratulations to the Portland Trailblazers.
They have pretty much made the Final Fours, you know, if you were doing college to professional.
That's right.
They're in the Final Four.
That's right. Oregon State Beavers as well. Baseball is doing really well. We'd love to see them go to the postseason.
That'd be awesome, too.
They are neck and neck, those Beavers baseball players, which is a surprise, I think, to a lot of people because they graduated so many of their stars last year.
Right.
Of course, they're perennial. They graduated a bunch of stars, and the coach stepped down and retired. So, but here they are. They're in a dead heat for first place in the Pac-12. So good for you, Beavers. Go down and knock out UCLA and Stanford.
There you go.
Make our day. All right. It is Monday. It is the 13th of May. So the question is, Dave, have you got your ballot in? Do you have anything to vote on your county?
Wow. Yeah. I forget to fill that out.
We're going to be... Something tells me you will get it in on time.
Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow.
So
tonight. Tonight when I get home.
Sometimes these spring elections, people, they kind of miss them on the priority list because there might be elections to the Community College Board, the Water and Soil Conservation District.
And people are like, oh, there's only one person running. Why should I vote?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that happens.
So important that we show up. The world is run by those who show up. That's right. So
That's our new motto. Yeah.
Polk County, of course. We'll talk about that before the end of the hour. I think we'll have the sheriff back on to encourage everybody to get their ballots in on the Polk County public safety levy.
Yes. Important.
So, yeah. Good stuff. It's a fabulous week in the Willamette Valley. A lot going on. U.S., State House, in the community, and so forth. I want to bring some attention to an event, actually, SEDCOR. Which is, we've had the SEDCOR president on. It's the Strategic Economic Development Corporation. So basically, it's a nonprofit that is assigned the task of helping economic development, promoting economic development in Marion, Polk, and Yamhill counties. Okay. It's located right here in Salem. But they have an economic forum May 22nd. So go to SEDCOR.com, SEDCOR, if you're interested. It's at the conference center. It's in the morning, 7:30 to 10. But a lot of it's going to be about Oregon and its budget.
Hmm.
I like how they titled it Budget Crisis. Me, I don't think it's much of a crisis when the budget is going up by not quite 10%, but close enough to 10% this biennium over the last biennium. And then all the taxes, of course, the tax proposals. So it's at the convention center, some speakers, Tim Dewey, who's a great economist. He's well-regarded and well-on-demand as an economist out of University of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Dewey will be a speaker. Tim Nesbitt of the Organization for PER Solutions, right? And
there is actually one of those?
Yes. Yeah.
And nobody's listening to them.
And then Tobias Reed, who's our state treasurer. Good panel. Should be a really good event. So go to SEDCOR.com or give SEDCOR a call if you want to register for that. Again, it's May 22nd. Hopefully, I registered today.
Good.
We'll be talking about it here on Newsmakers if you're not able to attend.
Okay. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be an interesting one.
Tim Dewey's always really interesting. I don't know how many economists you've ever heard talk, but they don't tend to be riveting speakers.
No.
You know, they've got all these slides. They've got slides that go up on the screens.
It reminds me of those commercials, you know, where the economy going up in this direction, and now we're going down in this direction. And you're just like sleeping there. Your eyeballs are rolling back in your head. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be a junkie for some of that. But Tim does a nice job, puts it in perspective. And then he hits things like, this is an indicator that indicates this. And we don't know. We don't look at this stuff.
Right,
know?
We and don't.
Then there's articles in the paper about housing starts and unemployment, new claims, and blah, blah, blah. But really, and then he throws up, you know, four graphs on a screen. And if they're going up and to the right, that's good.
Right. That's your good indicator. Mm.
So I'll be interested to see if anything has changed in Oregon. When at last I heard him speak at an event sponsored by KeyBank, so thank you, KeyBank, for sponsoring that. Basically, he reiterated what we've been hearing for a couple of years for Oregon's economy. Everyone's expecting a recession because it's time.
What?
Because it's time. So people are thinking, gosh, you know, this is the largest expansion. I don't know if it's in history, but it might be the largest expansion we've ever seen in terms of number of consecutive months, quarters, years of growth since the Great Recession ended, right? So therefore, since every decade seems to have a recession, we're past due for this recession, right?
Maybe it's because of the way things were set up before. It was set up to have a recession every decade. Now that we're on a different path, I don't feel that. Do you feel like a recession's coming? Because I don't.
Well, Tim Dewey doesn't. That's what matters. It doesn't matter what I think.
Right? I don't feel it.
Yeah, I don't feel it at all. My clients, my friends who are business owners, everybody is as busy as can be.
Right?
Actually, I have some examples of that about the house. So remember to get that in a second.
Okay.
So he's saying it just feels like there should be a recession. It gives him a lot more interesting things to talk about other than graphs going up and to the right, meaning growth, right?
Right.
And he said, but the problem with predicting a recession is I don't have any indicators that says we're going that way.
Good.
So that was the message. It was probably last fall, last time I heard him speak. And so May 22nd at the Sedcor Economic Forum, hopefully we'll get some more information. And hopefully it's the same. Maybe it's the same old boring message that Oregon's economy is growing and the Mid-Willamette Valley economy is growing.
Yeah.
And the national economy is growing and hopefully faster than the Chinese economy. So anyway, that's the thing. We don't want to like stop spending, stop growing, banks stop to lend and so forth because it's time to have a recession. It's just like, it's growing. Let's ride it.
Yeah. Folks. I don't believe in the same old, same old.
So, and we're going to get to later in the hour. After the break, I'll talk about Kurt Schrader. I read through his email update for the spring. Give you some of those highlights.
Was it long?
Well. There's a lot of topics.
Go through. How many pages?
Oh, well, you know how it is with the internet. It's
email?
Everything's a click.
Oh, geez.
Everything's a click.
That was probably 30 pages.
So here's the thing. We don't talk about it much on the show, but I've been building a house, my wife and I, and all these contractors coming in and out. And I look, and I cannot believe how many things they simply leave behind.
What?
Yeah. I'm like, well, business must be good that you do not care about the cost of these materials. You know why they don't care about the cost of materials? Because they charged me for them. Right?
Right. You pay for them. You own them now.
I've got them tucked over in the side of my property, and I've got lumber that's worth a pretty penny. I've got literally cases of caulk where they caulk the whole house and the windows and this and that. But, you know, we're done here, and they just jumped in the truck and went to the next. They don't care about picking up.
What?
Up, right? I've got a couple of boxes of decking screws that are, they must be $250 of decking screws. Right?
Well, you'll need them later. Trust me on that.
So, but they just left. They're full.
Wow.
These big 1,000-unit boxes of expensive coated screws. They're like, oh, we're done here. Let's go and jump in the truck and drive away. Right. So there's a state of the economy that these people, and of course, time is money, and labor costs more than materials a lot of times. But in leaner times, people would have gleaned every bit of material and construction material that they've had, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's like, we're so busy, we don't have time to pick it up, right?
Well, that's the state. That kind of makes it messy for you, though.
That's the state of the economy. It is burning and churning when it comes to the builders and the contractors. All right, we got to take a break. We will come back. We're going to talk about Kurt Schrader and some other things in the news and things happening at the Oregon Capitol, including a bill that doesn't seem to find its legs across to the other side of the building when it comes to freedom of information for the public. So stick with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Warren. You're listening to Newsmakers. We are talking about some of the things coming from our U.S. representative, Kurt Schrader. And even though we don't feel it all the time as immediately as our city council, maybe our county commissioner, certainly what he stands for and how he votes is definitely going to affect us here in the Willamette Valley. Just some highlights from his newsletter and letter in case you do not get it. One thing I thought was interesting is he's part of a group, the Blue Dog Coalition, as he calls them, Blue Dog Democrats, for a balanced budget amendment. Balanced budget amendment forcing the United States to not spend more. Can you imagine what a concept? Not spend more than they take in any given year, except in the cases of a war or something else. But
still, you know, I mean, that's a brilliant concept.
Brilliant concept. You know, last time there was a big push for that, I think it was Newt Gingrich and the contract with America.
That was a good concept.
It was a long time ago. I don't know how you could possibly do
that
it.
Long ago.
It was a long Newt Gingrich. Yeah, it was
92.
Yeah, 94, I believe.
Okay, but, yeah. I was in that era.
Yeah, it's a long time
ago.
That is a long time ago. It's 25 years ago.
That's still not a long time ago.
25 years ago. Anyway, balanced budget amendment, that would be interesting. I remember even in my 20s sending a letter to my U.S. representative back in the day who was a Democrat, said, hey, I'm never going to vote for you as long as you're voting for deficit spending.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for your input. And you don't care.
That's all they do.
They don't care. I mean, literally, you couldn't really transition the U.S. spending to balance that budget in a single year. It would spin the whole world into depression, but you got to work towards it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How many years do you think it would take?
20
years for us to finally get a balanced budget?
Yeah.
They should have been working on that since 94.
Yeah, then we'd be there.
We would be there.
Except they would have done all these exceptions for Afghanistan, spending, Iraq spending, and so forth. All right. He supports an increase of federal minimum wage. Not a big issue for Oregon because of our minimum wage is like $3.50 higher than the federal minimum wage, you know, just $7.25.
Federal. Yeah.
So he supports that. And he's got kind of a mix. And you can read in his newsletter, sometimes he's speaking to an audience which is more left, sometimes more pragmatic. Some of the things, stances that he takes are acceptable and fine with me. In other words, are clearly like, I don't know.
No.
Minimum wage. I don't really care so much about the federal minimum wage, $7.25, you know, federal. I don't know. For us West Coasters, that just seems like that's so low.
Yeah, all of the West Coast is up at almost $15 an hour now.
Poorer states in the Southeast, and is that?
But it costs less to live there.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Is that lower number acceptable?
Yeah.
Another thing that's he believes, flat out statement, that health care is a right and not a privilege.
What?
I struggle with that.
I do too.
I struggle with that. It's a right and not a privilege. Depends on.
No,
you
know, it doesn't.
Depends
doesn't,
how far you
no,
go with that concept.
It doesn't depend on that.
When you say, you know, if you have more money, you don't have a right to buy more than somebody who doesn't have your money. That's, to me, that's a problem. When you start socializing medicine to the point where you literally can't buy better healthcare, you don't have a right to buy better healthcare just because you have more money. like,
boy, yeah, that's a struggle.
That's why people travel internationally for their health care if you start doing that.
That's true.
Right. But it's a concept, you know, we got to be aware. He absolutely believes that it's a right, and every American should have a right to health care.
I believe every American has the right to access of health care.
Mm-hmm.
But because I think I've said this before and given you an example. When I was in my mid-20s, actually early 20s, to almost 30, healthy, didn't have health care.
Mm-hmm.
I worked part-time, but I was working almost full-time hours. Didn't qualify, didn't have health care. So if I got sick, I dealt with it, over-the-counter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got any, devastating sickness of any kind. You wouldn't have known that. So there was a payoff there of dealing with being sick. And then there's the, the devastation sickness. Say you got cancer or something like that. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, but are they going to cover you if you try and buy it then? See, there's where people are saying, hey, they don't cover this, but they will cover that. And it's got to be affordable, but not everybody should be able to have to pay into it and be fined for not having it. That's the
personal mandate you have a trouble with.
I have a real big problem with
that. So here's the question. It's so many philosophical questions.
Sure.
They're not just political, but some of them are philosophical. Is it fair to society, should you have gotten cancer at 25 and you needed $500,000 worth of chemotherapy and radiation, who should have paid for that? Who's going to pay for it?
Yeah, see.
Is that fair to society to put that burden on here because you didn't have health insurance? So there's an equity, there's a societal equity question, but the personal mandate is a completely different topic. Right.
But they wouldn't have treated me though if I got cancer at 25 and I didn't have health care.
Of course they would have.
You think?
Health. And that's the other thing.
Do you think,
Dave,
they really would have?
Thank you for saying it that way. We keep talking about health care like it, and in society and conversation, like the words health care and health insurance are the same thing, and they're not.
No, they're not.
They're not the same. There's getting access to health care.
Right.
And then there's having health insurance.
Yes.
Be it Medicaid, Medicare, private pay, what have you.
Yes.
Having health insurance. And when somebody says health care is a right, is it the same as saying, I don't think it's the same as saying the government needs to make sure that everybody has health insurance. Right? Because then you get into the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare. Right. Anyway, moving on, we're talking about Kurt Schrader and his recent newsletter went out, and he takes credit for supporting a ban on oil and gas exploration off the Oregon coast.
That is not something to brag about.
Well, it was Representative Denise Bowles was talking about that when she was on Newsmakers.
Yeah.
And they vote about it here in the State House as an issue when, in fact, no one
has applied to do it, right?
Nobody's interested in doing it. It's like it's not on the horizon. People aren't looking for permits. Nobody's doing the exploration. But you can say, hey, I've prevented this from happening, and it's just kind of posing a little bit.
It totally. I mean, it's, wow.
And one of the things he does well, U.S. Representative Schrader, he meets with constituents. He meets with people.
I've read about that.
He goes to groups.
Yeah.
So he held a fisherman's round table, and this is the kind of communication that's really needed when you take an industry group, so commercial fishermen.
Sure.
Meeting with NOAA, N-O-A-A, right, out of Newport, and agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read agencies, I think regulators, government agencies.
I think
and
red
regulators.
Tape. That's all I see.
So to have the U.S. representative there to try to garner a conversation, get these people all talking in one room, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. It's good balance. Some good balance and some other things that are, I'm not going that way. Anyway. All right. That's what I heard from Kurt Schrader. And coming up here in a little bit, we're going to talk to the Polk County Sheriff. This is the day before your ballot's in. You can't mail it, folks. You got to drop it off. Marion, Polk County, you got to go drop this thing off.
When is that?
The election is tomorrow.
So, ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wait. There was one other huge thing about Schrader. And I think this is if I'm reading it correctly, this is really good. It was a bill, the Right Rebate Act. All right, so this is basically fraud and waste in Medicaid, in Medicare. Medicaid, actually.
Are you surprised?
No. Well, I'm not surprised that there's fraud and waste.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that there was a bill to try to solve it. So basically it comes down to is when the federal government reimburses the pharmaceutical company for the drugs for people on Medicaid. And then for some bizarre reason, the pharmaceutical company has to pay a tax and kick it back into the Medicaid system.
Okay.
So the cost, if it's a brand name, has a higher tax rate than if it's a generic. Okay. So the pharmaceutical companies are kicking back into the Medicaid system, you know, like 22% of it's a brand name and I don't know, half of that, 12% or something. 13% versus 23%, right?
Wow.
Well, okay. There were a bunch of drugs that should have been marked as generic that the pharmaceutical companies were marking, or I beg your pardon, the other way around, should have been marked as brand names that they marked as generic, and they were paying 10% less kickback.
And nobody was checking.
And it's on the list that way. And so they're rectifying the list. They're closing that loophole. The article says it could save as much as $1 billion in Medicaid. That's $1 billion that can go to actual health care, folks. There are a lot of problems in pharmaceutical delivery in America. And it's just one of them. And hey, anybody who's going to go after waste, anybody who's going to go after waste and corruption in these societal programs, I'll take it. I like it. Just unbelievable.
$1 billion.
Yeah. Let's just get away with it. Let's just get away. I don't understand why they just can't pay less for the drugs rather than, we're going to pay you for this fill in the blank. You know, this high blood pressure medicine is a brand name, and then we're going to have you give us 23% back. It's just a weird cycle.
Yeah, that is a weird cycle.
I'm sure there's a perfectly rational explanation because it is the government.
Sure.
Anyway, I like that. Go after it. Way to go, Representative Schrader. Go find some more. The thing that really makes me mad, when they start stealing from every man, woman, and child in America, that whole fraud of these programs, you know, that you get them out of, I've seen some out of Florida, people are charging for transportation that they didn't do to doctor's visits, and they're preying on the money. They're stealing the money that was going to go to the elderly. That was going to go to the people in Medicare and or Medicaid. It's like, throw them in jail, folks.
Yeah.
Don't find them. Don't take away the license. Throw them in jail. You got to sit. When you're stealing from every single taxpayer, that should add up.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. We're going to come back, get more close to home, some local stuff. You listen to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and, of course, our friends at Sylvan Learning Center. All right, Brent, lay it on me.
All right, welcome back, folks. I know I said we could go back to the legislature and something local, but we were talking about Medicaid and Schrader's bill. There's something that happened in the Trump administration that intersects with one of our guests here at Newsmakers. We've had the Freedom Foundation here a couple of times talking
about
people's rights to say, no, I don't want to be in your union and I don't want to fund your union agenda. Trump administration... So here's the situation where in states, and I don't think this applies to Oregon, where you have caregivers who are being represented by a union, right? Caregivers, specifically people who are getting Medicaid reimbursement.
Okay.
Right? Federal law says, here's the reimbursement. It must go to reimburse for medical care, you know, for the Medicaid
recipient.
Okay. Well, some states are allowing, Obama allowed, through administrative rule change, that before they got reimbursed, they could take out union dues.
Ouch.
Yep. Union dues.
That's kind of weird.
Complete violation of, you know, Medicaid rules.
Yeah.
It has to go to health coverage. It has to go to the services provided. And so basically they were taking him from all of these, you know, you're talking about people that don't make a lot of money potentially, you know, they're represented by the union and a union of some sort, and they're giving in-home care and they don't make a ton of money.
Nope.
And they're skimming the union dues off the top.
Wow.
For the public employee union, skimming those off the top before it goes to the Medicaid recipient. And the Trump administration says, no, I don't think so.
No.
Right?
No.
All right. So I like that. I like that. Let's use the Medicaid money towards services, medical services needed. All right. Let's go to the Oregon legislature, shall we? We like here at Newsmakers, we like transparency. And so there's a House bill that has to give district attorneys the power to order public entities to, they can fine them or waive fees or something for public records if they don't comply with Oregon's public relations law, right?
Right.
Well, it passed the House like 56-0.
Wow.
It's not really controversial. Well, the thing is, and this is what's going on in the legislature, folks. There's so many bills. There's so much contention going on to raise revenue and so forth. This thing kind of slipped through the cracks. And that's what it says in the news article, basically. And you take the House sponsor, and he didn't carry it over to the Senate and say, hey, this is what this is about, and this is your heads up, right? And here's the quote. When we send bills from the House to the Senate, because we send so many all at once, it's really good if we give them a heads up about what it's all about. So, I don't know. Then it just gets lost. And I, you know, this is important. To me, it's important. If it's a public records request, I don't like it when cities and or counties or whomever, or the state for that matter, drag their feet because they don't really want to release it. Yeah. I want them to release it. Yeah. I like transparency in my government.
It's kind of like, yeah.
I want them to comply, and they shouldn't be able to drag and drag and drag and not get the information out and not to get it to the press and the public not even know. So anyway, 56-0, obviously bipartisan through the House, and then it gets gridlocked because they're so busy passing everything else and down to this.
Yeah, like 3,000 taxes bills. Not needed.
Yeah.
Things like that.
I think I had. Anyway, so that's the dissatisfaction, my frustration with that one. House Bill 2353, in case you want to write your senator 2353 and say, hey, make sure you look at this and make sure it happens.
Yeah, that's kind of a necessary one to keep them honest.
And here's one we've talked a little bit about, and it gets a lot of people emotionally going because it's authorization for the state of Oregon to give driver's license to people who are not legal in the state.
That's just wrong.
So undocumented immigrants, other people who can't prove that they're in the country legally, right? So you can't prove it, but you could still get a driver's license. And this is something, of course, Oregon voted on in 2016. And
Said no. Overwhelmingly.
So it would direct the Transportation Department to start offering licenses to people without proof of legal status starting in 2021.
I got a big problem with that.
Tell me.
Several things. First of all, it's the first step in being able to vote and to...
Especially when state with motor voter.
Right. Yeah. I got a problem with that because now if they check your license and everything, you look legal now. It's making them legal when they're not here legally. And if you can't prove that you're here legally, then you should be going home. Just my thought.
Okay. So sometimes, and you have to read to the bottom of the article. And by the way, this is Salem Reporter. It's our best source for investigative journalism and not just soundbite journalism. Keith Rosenstrater, and it's quoted, he's from Salem and he testified at this thing. And here's his point. It legitimizes to give people who can't prove they're here legally, legitimizes illegal immigration, devalues citizenship.
It does.
And that's what I think that's his best point, and threatens the sovereignty of our state and nation. Strong words, but The value of citizenship, what is the value of citizenship if you can get the benefits and the privileges of citizenship without
with
being
the,
one?
With the driver's license, yeah, that's the first step.
So proponents, to be fair, proponents saying this is a safety issue. If we can, if they can get a driver's
license.
It is. Because if they can get a driver's license, it means they've proven that they can read street signs, they've taken the test, right? And they know, and they've taken both a driving test and the written test. And that we want them to go do this. Otherwise, you know, anyway, that's the argument.
Give them a bicycle then. I mean, really?
Incredulous would be the best word to describe Dave Bourne's face right now.
They all want us to ride our bicycles to work and to travel and all that kind of stuff, you know? I got a big problem with that.
All right. In a 2-year period, Oregon State Police issued 20,000 citations for people driving without a license.
Still.
But when they do that, when they issue that, they do not ask for immigration status, of course.
See, there's the problem with that, too. Then here's the other thing. Have you gotten a driver's license renewed recently?
Yes.
I did, too. It was easier because I already had a license. Mm-hmm. But the first time I got a driver's license, to prove that you are a U.S. citizen, there is a lot of documentation that you need to get a driver's license to prove you're a U.S. citizen, mm-hmm. including, you know, possibly your birth certificate.
Passport,
There was one time I didn't have mine, and they asked for it. So I had to go with my mom and get a copy of it with my mom because there was no other way for me to get it. Say, yeah, this is my birth certificate. And went, yeah, sure. You bring your mom first. So I had to prove all that. And these people are going to be able to get it without a birth certificate, without a residence, proof of paying a bill or whatever they ask you to bring in. That's wrong to me.
All right, so we're going to take a break because we're going to have the Polk County Sheriff here in a minute. Senator yes. James Manning, he's a Democrat. He's from Eugene. He's the chief sponsor of the bill. He thinks it's going to pass the Senate. So he is being interviewed, and he holds up his driver's license that he obtained while he was serving in the military in Panama.
Okay.
And he said, hey, this is his quote, Senator James Manning. The only thing that this entitled me to or provided for me is that I understood the rules of the road and I was able to get insurance. Nothing more, nothing less. Here's the thing, Senator. You're in the country legally.
Right.
You did not enter the country illegally. You were not already a criminal when you... I mean, how do you miss that point? So he's trying to say that, hey, this doesn't do anything about citizenship or voting. This doesn't do any
Baloney.
Of that. It just means the person holding it understands the rules of the road and the person holding it can get insurance. For me, the insurance part is the big part. We all have to pay extra to get uninsured motorist insurance. I think there's too many people on the road with no car insurance. I don't know if this is going to help that, but that would be the one piece that if this helps that, at least I get a little benefit out of it. I want people to be able to get insurance.
You think your rates are going to go down? I bet not.
My rates always go down because I'm such a safe driver.
Yeah, okay.
Unlike some people we know here at Newsmakers.
Ha! Just because I'm going to traffic court tomorrow.
We're gonna take a break. You listen to Brent and Dave. Stay tuned. We're going to be back with Polk County Sheriff.
Yeah.
Right? You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery. Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. I've got egg all over my face because I'm a week ahead and telling you to get your ballots in. I was telling you at the top of the hour that tomorrow's election day and we actually have another week. For some reason, it's mid-May and I'm ready to vote. I also had my ballot with a stamp on it on the passenger side of my truck seat there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you got to get this in. So that'll teach me to take a couple of days off in the middle of the week. And anyway, so we've got a week to get our ballots in. It's okay to mail it. You don't have to be there tomorrow We got another week. So we have here in our studios, we have Polk County Commissioner Lyle Mordhorst. Welcome back to the studio, Lyle.
Thank you.
We had him on just a few weeks ago talking about his first experiences and jumping in on a new role here in Polk County. And, of course, the sheriff, Mark Darton. Sheriff, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
It's good to have you. So a couple of things real quick. We want to plug getting their ballots in. Right?
Which we
do here at Newsmakers. Get your ballots in. Make your voices heard. In Polk County, it's substantial. That's the one huge thing on that ballot is the public safety levy.
It's a big deal. It really is.
It really is a big deal in terms of quality of life. And personally, I like to have sheriffs on patrol where I live. I like to have district attorneys able to prosecute criminals and the jail able to hold them. And that's what this does, right?
It does. I mean, you're able to prosecute people the way we need to and hold them in jail like we need to and have our patrol deputies on patrol 24 hours a day, not just 10 hours a day like it used to be.
Okay. And actually, speaking of patrols, you guys were recently recognized for some enforcement action.
Yeah, we were. It's a great honor. We've never received this before, but it's the 2018 DUI Enforcement Agency of the Year from the state. So from, yeah.
Wow.
We had 218 DUI arrests in 2018.
So those Polk County people drinking too much, more than they used to, or are you enforcing it more than you used to?
Enforcing more than we're used to. We have folks out on the road being able to intercept them versus how we didn't have anybody on patrol before. So
obviously that's going to be an increase in terms of the percentage of people you're stopping, but also the sheer numbers, I mean, obviously caught the attention. And you haven't won that award before, right? Is that something that you have a policy on that specifically targeting?
No, we don't have a dedicated DUI enforcement or anything like that. It's our folks out on patrol, handling calls, stopping a DUI driver in between, going to another call. It's all just they're out there and being very, very active.
Who usually wins?
It depends.
But not Polk County.
Not typically. OSP is typically up on the top. So
Commissioner Mordhorst, so you're out stumping for the public safety levy as well?
Absolutely.
And you're a West Salem resident, as I recall from our interview?
Correct.
So you're covered probably at your house by Salem police?
No, actually, I'm 10 miles north, so I'm in the country. So I'm covered by our deputies.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So wow, it really impacts you because when they call... it seemed more important to have the deputies, having the deputies there 24 hours.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there for a while, you'd call and it would be a long time if somebody came, if they could. And Sheriff Carton was part of that spindly crew of seven people, I believe.
Yep.
Now, wherever you go in Polk County, now you're seeing those patrol on the roads, on the highways, slowing them down. Wrecks are down. And the response time when you call is right now.
All right. Say somebody has a $200,000, $300,000 house. How much are they expected to pay if this passes? Do you have that?
I don't have that, but it's $5.50 per thousand. Actually, you know what? Sheriff Garten's on top of it. He's taking care of the old guy.
Sheriff's like, I have this resource right here. Yeah.
So a $300,000 home is $10.50 a month. Works out to $126 a year.
That's reasonable.
But it's a renewal. It's not a new tax. It's something that we've had and we just want to continue doing.
All right. In case you did not hear the interview a couple of weeks ago, there's already a public service levy and all these improvements and additional bodies have gone into effect and they're trying to renew this to get it qualified for another 5 years.
Correct.
Okay. What happens if it doesn't pass?
I mean, we're going to lose, about $2.5 million in our budget for public safety between the DA's office, sheriff's office, and the jail. So that money is just not going to reappear. We're going to be back to where we were, unfortunately. This levy, though, this is the fourth year. So in theory, it would go for another year, and we would have another attempt to be able to pass another renewal. But if it doesn't pass, I'm worried that folks are going to leave and go to other agencies where it's not levy dependent. So that's a factor. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to do it sooner than later also is to be able to have that stability.
So this does intersect with a lot of different things. One, it would be wild, wild west and everybody in Polk County pretty much just are going to arm themselves because there'd be nobody to call. And two, He's not saying that. He just winced. The sheriff, you can't. That's the magic of radio. I can say things, and he just winced. But there's that. But going back to the Wild Wild West, where you only had sheriffs on patrol 10 hours a day. But also having a professional sheriff's operation, sheriff's and DA, honestly, operation where people are secure in their job and they know they're not worried about getting laid off and you can have more continuity, right?
Correct.
So you're not training people and it's like, well, I don't know if I'm going to get paid next year, so I'm going to go get take a job at Klamath County or fill in the blank.
Training costs a lot of money. It's about $150,000 a year.
So the public safety level of which we want as citizens, and also the continuity for the people that you have on your in your crew already.
I mean, this levy did hire 22 people, so it is for people. It's not for things, and so we have that amount of staff that needs stability.
So let's talk a little bit about the current levy. You've been assessing about 33 cents a thousand. Right?
Correct.
And this would authorize the county to support that at about 42 cents a thousand. So in terms of real dollars year over year, it might be a slight increase for everyone, even though it's a continuation.
Depending on your assessed value. But yes, I mean, most people will see a very slight increase because of the federal monies that we always got and reduce the levied amounts that we'd done. But because those things aren't going to happen anymore. So, or at least we don't think they will.
What do you need people to do?
Vote.
Need them to vote. We're talking at top of the hour with the wrong date, thanks to thanks to Brent's slip there. But how important it is to show up? And there's such a thing as a 4 out of 4 voter, right? They keep track. The consultants and people who are watching elections, how many times in the last 4 elections did you vote? And it's not just presidential elections. It's not just November elections, folks. It's May elections. It's special elections. It's all elections. Get your ballot in. And I know it's in Polk County. I mean, there's even people that didn't even file to run for some of the, like, water conservation district and things like that. So I wrote it in. I wrote somebody in. I'm not going to vote for nobody. I put somebody in. Gosh, there was a question I have for Commissioner Mordhorst out there stumping for this. And I completely lost it. I completely lost it. You need them to vote. The turnout, what kind of turnout are we expecting in May?
It's always low. I mean, this is probably one of the lower elections that we'll have.
Where can they turn in their ballot?
There's at the courthouse, there's a drive-through. They can throw it in. They don't have to actually go into the courthouse, so or they can mail it.
Okay, now they can mail it, up until later this week. I think if it's any later than like Thursday, then you can't be sure that it's going to arrive on time. Okay. So what about other spots in the county? You said the courthouse, that's in Dallas.
Yeah, I believe Ross still has one there in West Salem.
Really?
They had a drop site before.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Independence or Monmouth?
I think there's drop sites in both cities. It might be at City Halls.
Okay. All right. We are running out of time. So, Sheriff, Commissioner, Polk County, get your votes in. Public safety levy, right?
It's important.
If you have any questions, what's the website?
KeepPolkSafe.com.
KeepPolkSafe.com. Folks, I'm supportive. I hope you are too. Thanks for being here on Newsmakers. This is 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.